Great moments are born from great opportunity.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Average Joe's wins in a shocking upset.
I feel shocked.
You suck compared to me.
So you guys are two prep school white guys podcast.
We are underdogs.
They stay ready, so you don't have to get ready.
Man, I haven't even told anybody this. This is kind of crazy.
Robinson for three.
Hello and welcome back in to the Long Shot Podcast. We're here. I'm here with my good friend and my co-host, Davis Patrick Reed.
We sound like a late night radio show.
We are kind of a late night radio show. I just had some tea. I'm settling down for the evening. We're wearing matching tracksuits if you're not watching this on YouTube.
I wasn't going to say anything about
and
it.
And we look fantastic.
We look like... It's my dick in a box.
I don't know.
I don't know if I can say
that. We did not get paid to wear these, believe it or not. We wore these by choice.
Yeah.
The brand is Sergio Tacchini. to be honest with you, I've never heard of Sergio Tacchini. I have this weird thing. I think a lot of athletes have it where, like, from a marketing standpoint, a lot of companies will just kind of send you stuff. So I just randomly will get boxes sent to my house. And this was a recent package that was sent, these jumpsuits. And I just kind of put them off. I have like a room where I put all the extra stuff. And you just rummaged through there.
As I did.
And happened to track them down. The hats, on the other hand, are Soho Youth Club, which is based out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, home of my alma mater. But they're doing some good stuff in the community over there, helping out kids with literacy and just helping underserved communities, particularly children. So they're actually doing some good stuff.
Yeah,
I do
out.
Know Soho Youth Club. Never heard of Sergio Tacchini, but I will say, I think we look pretty good.
I feel like a million bucks.
Yeah. I feel like we should be coaching like a youth soccer team or slinging drugs.
I feel like Will Ferrell and kicking and screaming.
Yeah, that's kind of what
juice
I was
box. Give me a juice box.
But I feel good. I feel ready to go. We got a mailbag.
We do. We haven't done one of these in 2022.
Really?
Remember we said we were going to do one every 10 episodes, and we haven't done one in 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I always push for the mailbags.
Yeah, you do. I like them.
They're low maintenance, not a lot to prep for.
And it's fun.
So yeah, one like this is long overdue, and I'm happy we're getting around to doing it.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of questions out there, I'm sure, that need to be answered.
And that's the most important part. You know, we like to hear what the people.
It's about
we
the
like
people.
To answer the questions from the people.
100%. It's all about the people.
I do want to address one thing real quick because I did rummage through your closet to find these. I will admit that. It's the first thing I do when I get here because there's so many things that go. You forget about them. You tuck them away. I don't even think you open boxes all the time. And so sometimes you can find treasure like this.
Yeah.
You would have never known.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're maybe painting not the most positive picture, but...
Well, you're inundated with things.
Yeah. There's just a lot of random stuff that gets sent here, and I don't always have time to really... do my due diligence and look through it all.
Yeah, I'm just so busy, man. I'm focused on the process,
that's
man.
That's not really what it is.
I mean, if you can't find me, it's because I'm in my bag.
Yeah, it's not really that. But anyways, what were you saying?
Nothing, really. All right, let's get to it. First question I have for you, Duncan.
Well, you don't have... This isn't your question. This is...
Yeah, fine.
Somebody else's.
Yeah, sure. This comes from Abby Atch. A-C-H? Atch? Abby Edge. Yeah. Abby. This comes from Abby. Abby asks, who was the most fun, best player to watch out of all the teams in the playoffs this year? We haven't had a chance to talk about the finals or anything.
No, we haven't. We haven't had a chance to talk about the finals. I'm going to do one close to home. It was cool for me to watch Jordan Poole play throughout the playoffs. Given our history as teammates and friends, and you know, it was just cool to see. I know how much he's put into it, and I know how much he's grown as a player. And it was just cool to see so much work, time, energy, commitment come to fruition on that stage, particularly early on in the playoffs when he was just kind of like bursting onto the scene when like Steph was coming off the bench and JP was going for like 25 a night. That was really cool to see and well warranted all the praise that he got, and then for him to get a ring. I mean, obviously the level of competition is high and everyone wants to see themselves at the end, you know, holding it up, but it was cool for me to see him. I'm happy for him for sure.
Yeah, there's a funny video because Jordan's what, 22?
22, I believe. Yeah, feels right.
And so, you know, the Warriors weren't great his first 2 years.
Yeah, they were really bad actually.
But he's 22 and he now knows what it's like to win a championship. So there's this funny clip of Steph breaking down and because he just has an emotional breakdown. Clearly this championship meant a lot to him. And so he's in tears, just, you know, trying to keep it together, but he can't. And then Jordan's standing right next to him, just like doing the gritty or something.
Hitting a
little
dance.
Yeah, just dancing. It's just the polar opposite. You know, it's the 22-year-old who wins the championship.
It's amazing. Yeah, I hopefully a future long shot guest. We've been working on that one for a while.
Still working
on it. A little stubborn, hard-headed about coming on here, but we'll get there. But it is crazy. I mean, Jordan was a guy who just always had so much talent. And, you know, early on in his Michigan career, when I was a senior, he was a freshman. We were like roommates on the road and stuff, and always had so much talent. And, you know, kind of early on, couldn't get out of his own way a little bit and was hard-headed and stubborn, like a lot of good players are. But to see just in the short amount of time where he's come from then to now is really incredible. It's testament to him and what he's put into it. But then also, like, obviously, what an opportunity it is for him to be around that organization. Yeah. And those guys and learn and grow and become a professional and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I think situation is everything. And it seems to me like there are few places better than Golden State and playing with a guy like Steph than to see how things are done.
Yeah, I mean, especially for a player like Jordan, right, who has so much talent and ability, for him to be in the structure of that. And it's like it's freedom within structure because that's what they do so well, and that's why they're so hard to prepare for, is because it's not scripted structure, but it's like having the pillars laid out, but then you have freedom to move throughout. And that's when you can really maximize talent, when you combine freedom with structure and you kind of walk that line between the two.
Yeah. My answer, Steph. I don't know if Abby cares about
my answer. I don't think she cares, to be honest. I don't care.
Not to give another Warrior, but they were the champions, so most fun player to watch. It makes sense that he'd be on that team. I mean, he's incredible.
He's incredible.
I'm curious for you. How do your peers talk about Steph? Like, do other guys around the league understand his greatness? Because for me, I just think some of the stuff he does on the court just doesn't make sense. And I obviously don't think I understand the game at the level that like you guys in the locker room do. But how do people talk about what he's doing? Or like, are those conversations happening?
I mean, honestly, I don't think it happens as much, one, because we only play them twice a year. But when the conversations do happen, I think everyone just kind of like unanimously agrees that he's his own thing. Like, there's nobody else in the league that's doing anything close to really what he's doing. There's nobody else in the league that you really guard the same way you have to guard him. I mean, there are guys obviously that are high level great shooting point guards that can fill it up and score, but like, he's just doing it at a different level. And especially within how they play, like, so much of their offense is predicated around him and getting two people on him and him creating, and he's just in constant motion. So I think the big one just being like, everyone's kind of like knows just how unique he is. I don't want to speak for like the rest of the NBA, right? But the other thing I've heard from friends of mine or whatnot who've played with him is also just like how low maintenance he is. For someone to be that good and be so just kind of like, yeah, like just all about the team winning and like just kind of like a regular guy in that sense. And not that makes him better. It's just unique to be in the situation that he is as a superstar, but just kind of be like low maintenance and just kind of like chilling, basically. Because that's kind of like what you see with his personality. Like, there are quotes out there, I think, of like Aisha talking about like after he breaks records, like he just wants to come home and just like chill and like watch movies and like hang out with his family. Like, I think that's really unique. But I mean, I don't have like a firsthand experience of that. It's just what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He's my size. Like, I just don't understand. It just doesn't make sense how he can be so.
I mean, the other thing, he's a crazy athlete.
Yeah.
His ability to change direction, speed, quickness. Like, yeah, he's not like vertically dunking on people, but like his conditioning level, like all that stuff. And he's strong. Like,
that's how much he moves in a game.
Yeah.
Like, and then you saw it in the finals. He gets one-on-one matchups off these high pick and rolls and he just blows by.
Yeah. People. I mean, like, part of it is that you just have to always be up because you have to respect his ability to shoot the way that he does. But like, yeah, he's just like, he's not this like frail little kid that a lot of people like remember him as a Davidson. Like he's gotten a lot bigger, a lot stronger. I think that like started to get covered more weirdly enough, like this finals because it, you know, he was better defensively or whatever, but like he's been like that. Yeah. It's not like that's like a totally new thing. It's just, you know, whatever people like pick narrative lines and just kind of run with them. But
yeah, makes sense. All right. That was like a, I think if we're spending that long on every question, we're going to get through five questions.
No, we'll keep it pushing.
No,
we'll,
I like it though. Pick up the
pace. I actually like a little more rapid fire personally.
We can do a little combo. How about this? If you have something to say, we can stay on it. All right. If you want to keep it short, we can keep it short.
Yeah.
This one, I have a feeling you're going to want to keep short. So this will be a good example of Mr. Heat Plays asks, what are Duncan's goals for the summer? What are your plans for the summer?
Yeah, we'll keep this one short and sweet. It's basically just to become a better basketball player. I mean, I highlighted this in the episode we did right after the season, the first one back. And it's just basically
I thought maybe we'd expand on it, but we don't have to.
No, there's not really much to expand on, you know. I mean, there is, but, like, it doesn't make any sense to get on here and talk about it. Like,
well, and real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Yeah, like lasagna, exactly. Yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to be here. Well, I'm going to do this, and this. Like, no, we're not doing that.
But how about this? I'll answer the question for you.
Sure.
Because we were talking about it a little bit today. You're getting after it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan.
On the court in the morning working out.
Well, no, we're not going to do all this.
Then you're in the weight
room. We're not going to do all this.
Then you're doing Pilates.
No, we're not.
Then you're doing PT. Then you're back at night to shoot. It's like it's a full day of basketball every day.
I mean, yeah.
It's a lot.
That is my profession, so it's what it should be.
So don't get it twisted. He does a podcast. It takes an hour out of his week, all right? He's still on the court for 8 hours a day. You can't be on the court for more than that, otherwise your body shuts down.
All right,
we went to dinner tonight. He was limping to the table because he's on his feet all day working out.
Let's go. Come on.
All right. That's all I got to
keep
say.
Keep it moving.
This is kind of in the same vein. You're going to hate this question, but
why do you choose them if you don't want to hate them?
Well, because I'm interested in this. Jeremiah asked, how many shots a day do you shoot in the off season?
I'm not at the point where I like write down, like have a shooting journal or do anything like that.
But broadly, because I'm interested
roughly,
in this too.
I mean, yeah.
Does it ramp up?
Yeah, I think there's times where, like, for example, right now, as I'm like kind of getting back into it, it's more about just like getting comfortable and repping shots and getting a lot of shots. And then like as the summer goes on, it's more kind of like detailed, specific around working on this specific type of shot or like just having game reps, but you have to build that like base, right? So it's like the cardio base, but it's also like the basketball base. And you know, when you take 2 weeks off and you're not using those muscles, like they regress a little bit.
Yeah.
So you have to build that back up. So like right now it's a little stretch where you get a lot of shots. You kind of get back in that rhythm of shooting. You see the ball go in a bunch, get more comfortable. And then you kind of like strategically move forward from there. You mix in competition. Like that's one thing, a big difference this summer is I'm going to try to like compete and play more. And that's not like reckless pickup games that get posted on YouTube and people think it's like great runs. It's more like controlled competition, you know, one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, like that sort of stuff.
The other reason I wanted to ask this question is because I wanted to segue it then to tell you that I played pickup for the first time in like 8 months the other day and played for an hour and a half, probably 8-9 games in that span.
I feel like you did you tell this story on a podcast or did you just tell it very vividly to me on FaceTime? Because I've heard this story
probably
before.
Told it to you. I don't think I've told it on the podcast. Then if I'm repeating this story on the podcast, I apologize to everybody listening.
If you're repeating it, this better get cut out. But
yeah,
just keep
we'll
going.
Cut it out. I don't think I've said this. Though. It's right. Also not that
I think either way, it should maybe get cut out.
It's not a worthy story of me telling twice. All but right. My point is I probably shot the ball 30 times in those 9 games and I was legitimately sore the next day. Right. And so you talked about that too, the muscle atrophy. And it's obviously a little different for you. You took a couple weeks off. I had taken 8 months off and I'm not a professional basketball player. But I imagine you go through that
too.
Did
you ice the elbow the next day?
No ice, but I realized I couldn't play for a couple more days.
Really?
Yeah, the body needs to recover.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. Next question's for me.
I love that.
Not a lot of these.
That's a fun one.
Con, K-O-N, Con, T-S-K.
Contisk
asks, does Davis ever get starstruck with a guest? Yes. Every week, essentially. I'm starstruck right now just looking at Duncan.
With a guest, though. I'm not a guest.
With yes, 1,000%.
What's the guest that you were the most starstruck with?
Scott Van Pelt, I remember, because wow. he was like in the first 20 that we did, in the first 15.
I was just say early on, you were really nervous.
Oh my God, I remember,
because it was kind of like that. You kind of had that complex, like that. What am I doing here?
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, imposter syndrome. I still do, like, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, I still do.
I mean, I don't know. You're wearing a full track suit. Well, you look the part right now. I'm trying to lean in. But early on, I remember, like, you had a lot of nervous energy, a lot of nervous questions. But you've pushed through. I mean, you carried the pod by yourself.
And now I'm coming into my own. Yeah. But no, I remember with SVP. I remember sitting, because the virtual ones are weird too.
Yeah, they are. It's always awkward over Zoom, especially with someone you don't know.
Yeah.
And can, like, really connect with you.
So I remember having a moment where I sort of had that outer body experience of, I am sitting in my parents' house on a Zoom with Scott Van Pelt asking him questions. This is my job now. And I sort of lost track of the conversation for a couple minutes because I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know?
You dialed it back in, though, and you asked some great questions.
That was a good one. One of my favorites. That's what
it's all about. No, SVP's the man. We should get him back on. He's actually on the TV right now.
He is on it. Yeah, he's on the TV stuff right now. Have you had any of those moments during the podcast? Because we've talked to some people that you don't really have relationships with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's like starstruck as much as it is just kind of like anxious, nervous, because I don't feel necessarily comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Like if it's a teammate or a friend or something like that, obviously there's really none of that. But like, and it's mostly when it's over Zoom, because you have less control. Like,
yes,
there's like, it's more likely that you're going to have that awkward moment where like one person's talking and the other one talks over them. And like in person, you have like the social cues and kind of like what you can kind of put together based off of like subtle communication, yeah, eye contact, body language, all that sort of stuff, where you can kind of navigate that. But Zoom is just so, it's just awkward.
It's so much easier in person. Yeah. Okay. From Allie Rucker. What do players say to each other in each other's ear after games? And is there a funniest thing said to you a post game from another player that comes to mind? Because you guys do. You do the little, you know, it used to be the jersey swaps. Now those aren't happening as much, but you get the like hand over the mouth conversations. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't participate in those always. I kind of have like a subtle rule if like, we're not close enough to where I would like text you and like link up and talk with you like after the game in the tunnel, then like I probably don't need to be like saying what's up to you directly after the game. Like it feels like I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Wait, I would argue those are the people you should be talking to after the game because you're going to talk to the other guys in the tunnel.
But it's like, it's kind of like I'm going to talk to you after, so like we don't need to do this out here.
Okay.
But like, that being said, I do still do it every now and then.
It's for the camera.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's a showy side to it, right? Like the kind of like performance theatrics. But it's like, it's funny to me always those like kind of like awkward moments in between, like you dap up the person you know well, and then there's like that person that you like kind of know well that like, yeah, I'll probably dap him up. And then there's like always that random one. Like, I don't really know him, but for some reason we just dapped each other up. Like,
you're just caught in the flow.
Yeah. It's just like, there's a rhythm and flow to it. So I like oftentimes choose to just like opt out of it entirely. Hmm. I think I should probably, I don't know. I go back and forth, but
I say do it.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of funny moments, I don't know. It's always funny when like, it's somebody that I know really well. And like for example, we played the Magic this year and Mo had like gotten into it with Markieff Morris. It's just like, I'm just like, why?
Yeah, now first you can't all, go chop it up with him.
Yeah, it's like this weird situation where like everyone on our team holds like some sort of animosity towards him. So like, damn, like now I got to go dap him up. So like I kind of tried to like avoid him and like say what's up to Franz or whatever, like Robin Lopez, because that's my boy.
Legend.
But then like ultimately I ended up having to talk to Mo, and I you know, just like talking about like why are you doing this? And he gives me some explanation of like, this is what I do, man. This is what I do. This is who I am. So probably that. I mean, that's not a great answer.
That's fine. Can I tell the Robin Lopez, Justin Bieber story?
Yeah, sure.
This guy is such a legend. I grew so much respect for him because we went to see Justin Bieber.
I was not there for this. This is in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That's right. You weren't there.
That was when...
I've talked Davis, about it on the podcast. We're not doing it.
Davis is doing the Justin Bieber world tour. Hit multiple stops in the same week.
We went to the Bieber concert in Orlando. Have I told you this story?
Yes.
And Robin Lopez was there with his wife, and he's reading a book in the back.
I love that.
The whole concert. Like, he's not watching. He's just reading his book.
I love that.
So he clearly just came to, you know, support. His wife wanted to be there.
I now understand why he has such an impressive vocabulary.
It was amazing. It just locked into his book.
It's great stuff.
At one point, his wife went up to him and asked him to come join her to enjoy the concert. And he, you know, of course he's going to do it.
He obliged.
But it seemed like he would rather be reading his book. So then they go sit in the dark to watch the concert. And 30 seconds later, he pulls out his iPad and starts reading on his iPad.
I love that move.
So he was clearly expecting that this would happen. Yeah. And Mo has told us this too, that he is reading a book.
He's or a voracious reader.
Or he's playing basketball. It's one or the other.
I feel like the word voracious only gets used when talking about reading.
I don't know if it gets used ever.
I feel like I always hear that he's a voracious reader. She's a voracious.
Is that our
reader word
of the day?
Yeah, maybe voracious. Voracious. Anyways.
All right. I like this question a lot from Naomi. They ask, if the max you could make a year in the NBA was $75,000 a year, would you still play? And what percent of players do you think would still play?
See, that's an interesting question because you're looking at I would definitely play. I mean, first of all, it would be significantly less competitive. So there's a chance I would be like maybe the best player, one of the best, like top 15, 20 players. I seriously think there would be a chance of that. Yeah. Think about less people would be playing.
Well, I guess it
depends.
There's
less incentive to play.
Well, yes. Okay, fine. I think if it was still the NBA, is it the best option or are people going overseas to make more money like in the WNBA? Oh, the WNBA, they do both.
No, but I just think that if you could only if you were capped at 75K, I think that people would not be as good of players.
Well, sure. If we're going all the way back to like people wouldn't be as incentivized to be basketball players.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fine. Fair enough.
So I think there would be like less competition.
What if tomorrow they just changed the maximum salary to 75,000? How many people are deciding to not play basketball anymore?
And well, that's with the caveat. Are you allowed to go play overseas for more money?
Because
everyone would go do that.
Okay, what if you couldn't? What if this was your best option? So it's either this or nothing.
I think you'd see a decent amount of guys hang it up.
What, 20%? A quarter? 25%? Half?
It's just hard. Like, there's so much that comes with playing in the NBA that is overwhelmingly positive, right?
Yes.
And it's, like, truly unique in comparison to, like, any other livelihood. And I don't want anyone to think for a second that myself, or I don't want to speak for everybody, but anyone takes it for granted. But when you've experienced it for 10, 11, 12, whatever years, 5 to 15, whatever it is, eventually those perks like wear out.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, there's some level of like fatigue of like,
you're like, oh, right, another free tracksuit.
Yeah. Or like, you know, for some of these guys, like a charter flight is like, they've done thousands of them.
Yeah, but it's almost like you don't know what life is without, you know, like you can't go back.
Yeah, but my point being is like some guys have made enough money. Like what is, why are they going to fly around, play 82 games? You know, that's a serious toll on your body, your health.
Yeah.
Like it's eye opening to me, like Dirk Nowitzki talking about what those last couple of years of his career did to him. Like he can't move around, but like he's not as like mobile as he would like to be post-career. Basketball is an incredibly impactful sport, not necessarily in the way that football is where you're like running into bodies, but like the impact of your joints, ligaments, you know, in football, you're on a field, in basketball, you're on hardwood, like over and over again. So I mean, I think you'd see a lot of guys not play, to be honest with you.
So your answer is you would still play.
I would still play.
You'd be an all-star.
No, well, here's the thing. I would still play. I would, like, constantly be evaluating, like, opportunity cost of, like, all right, if I'm going to keep – I'm 28 years old right now. If I'm going to keep doing this, like, I am seriously setting myself back in, like, another career. Yeah. This is also assuming that I haven't secured
– sure.
You know, financially myself, and that I've been making 75K per year. Like, that's not enough. An 8-year career or 10, 15 right. year career.
This is your earning window. 75K
is not enough to retire.
You have no prospects.
Yeah. So there's like an opportunity cost there of like going out and actually making money that you can like provide.
Yeah.
You know, with that sort of stuff.
Okay. Let me flip this question then, because LIV Golf is in the news. All these guys leaving for these $100 million contracts.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, what's the – so Dustin Johnson reportedly, like these guys are going for 100 –
200 million, yeah.
Which is more than Tiger made in his career.
Right.
So what's the equivalent in the NBA? What's LeBron made in his career? 300 million?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
so if some European, Saudi basketball league started throwing around $300 million contracts to people.
Are people out?
I would say for sure.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think you'd see something similar. I will say, like, I know there's a lot of scrutiny with the LIV Golf thing, but like I think competition is generally speaking, competition is unequivocally a positive thing.
Yeah.
That it's the fastest way to breed positive results for particularly the players, right? Because now all of a sudden you see the PGA Tour respond and create these other events with $20 million purses, and it incentivizes the PGA Tour to keep their players.
They've
and
made
by
changes.
Doing so, they have to create better circumstances for their players. Like that sort of competitive pressure is how you actually get results. Otherwise, you're just going to see the same stuff over and over again. Now, I don't think that that's something's going to happen with the NBA, because I think the NBA has in general and will continue to as we move forward make efforts to create really good environments for their players and prioritize their players. That's not something that I've always heard with golf. I mean, I think a big thing with the guys leaving the tour is like the PGA Tour grind, especially when you include majors, is a grind.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real off season there, and that's a huge part of it. You know, the LIV Tour is a totally different play schedule. They get more time off, all that sort of stuff, and they can still play in the majors. Which is funny. Somebody pointed out to me, it's like, if I signed a check, or if I got a check that was worth $200 million, my first thing would be like, I'm going to play more golf. Like how awesome would it be to play more golf? And these guys are like, well, now that we signed this, we actually want to play less golf.
But it goes to show, dude, like this is just a job for people, you know, like it's a job.
Yeah.
So for you to chase the money in your job is not, I think most people would do that. I do think the difference with golf is, with like the hypothetical in the NBA, is that there is the history aspect of the PGA, which does matter. Like some of these players who are staying, Justin Thomas, I think
John
Rahm,
they want to be like considered with the greats.
Yeah, they've come out and said, look, I want to win the PGA. Winning a PGA tournament means something.
Yeah.
And that's up for debate.
Legacy,
look, like,
no,
what do
legacy,
you value?
Legacy definitely matters, but like, not to bring it back up, but like, there's... I don't know. Everything has a price. You know what I mean? Like, what am I willing to, I guess, tarnish my legacy for? I mean, that's a decision that obviously those guys have made. And I don't even necessarily think it's tarnishing, though. I mean, it depends how you look at
it,
obviously.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. When someone offers us $100 million to go do our podcast in Europe, I'm on the first flight.
Love that. I'll be right there with you.
All right. This question comes from either Jesus or Jesus.
Yeah.
And it sort of piggybacks off this, because we're talking about all the perks that come in the NBA. That's not just the pay. And they ask, what's the most fun thing about being in the NBA that people wouldn't expect? Is there anything that comes to mind?
The
most fun thing about being in the NBA that people wouldn't expect. I don't know what people would expect.
Yeah, I would say the most fun.
The money, the clothes, the women.
Okay,
the,
well, I'll say generally.
Your celebrities.
Generally is like the access. And early on in my career, I constantly heard like, make sure you maximize relationships and networking while you're still playing. Because while you're an active player, pretty much everybody will respond to you, pick up your phone call, like, you're always going to kind of have that sizzle and pop of being a current NBA player.
Yeah.
And when you retire, that just naturally changes. So I would say the access of like, and I don't like abuse it by any means, but for me, like if I'm a fan of a music artist or if I'm a fan of like the example with the PJ thing, an actual, not an actual artist because music artists are still artists, but like, you know,
a creator of some sort.
Yeah, right. Like I'm going to actively reach out to them and let them know that I'm a fan of what they do. Not in some like public setting or anything, but like more so like privately. Like recently I've been listening to the Dissect podcast.
Yeah.
And I think Cole Kushner does an amazing job. And I reached out to him. I was like, dude, I just really appreciate your work. And it's cool. It will forever be cool to me that like I'll get a response.
Yeah.
And that he'll hit me back.
Did he hit you back?
Yeah.
Shout out Cole Kushner.
And we'll have a dialogue.
Will he come on the pod?
At some point.
All right. But I want to break down music with him.
But like something like that where it's like, you know, people reach out to people all the time. And I could be better about responding to people when they reach out. And I do try, but like it's unrealistic, obviously, to get to everybody all the time. And it can be such a slippery slope. But like for me, it's always been cool that like I can hit up, you know, I listen to a Parker McCollum song and I like his music and I can hit him up and be like, I love your music. And we can go back and forth. And, you know, he's a Heat fan and this or whatever. Like, that's cool to me.
I'm jealous. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to say good golf. Will you please get back to me? I know I'm not an NBA player, but I have DM'd you guys and you haven't responded, haven't even opened it. So yeah, we could have Duncan do it, but we're trying to do it without him. Will you guys please get back to me? We have some ideas, okay? Please hit me back.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
No, but I get it. And I see. I
like good golf a lot. They make some great golf content. Yes. They really do.
And we have some ideas that we could do with you guys. Please DM me back. We DM'd you from the long shot. We even have the blue check next to us. Please just open the message. You don't even have to get back to us. Just read it. If you're not intrigued,
see, I think if you would have sent the Davis Reed personal account DM, they would have hit you back. No, because
if you got the blue check and the more followers, it goes to the top.
I guess. You know? Fair enough. Anyways, that was a good question.
No, what's next? And it's a good answer because I see it. You know, it's like you said, it's cool to be able to get in touch with people.
Yeah.
And once you're retired, no one's going to give a shit about you.
Yeah, I like people and touching base with people. And like one of my favorite documentaries is the Jimmy Iovine. I'm blanking on it. I'm saying it's one of my favorite. But like the Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine, Defiant Ones. Sorry about that. It's on HBO. And he talks a lot about his like special sauce was like collaboration. And that like I'm going to bring this artist over here who's killing it respectively with what they do, and this artist, which is like totally different, different lane, but they're killing it too, and bring them together and see what happens.
Yeah.
And like that collaborative mentality of like bringing people together to try to create, grow, help, give back. Like what I could do with my network in terms of like giving back and making an impact is 10x times what I could do on my own.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always an opportunity to connect with other people. And obviously it's self-serving to some extent, but like in the grand scheme of things, if you're able to do it and help people in the process, then, you know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Thanks. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I'll tell you what, Dave, life can be overwhelming and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Some of these symptoms can include a lack of motivation, maybe some irritability, fatigue, and there's so much more. We associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. And our roles in life can lead to us feeling this type of burned out. I know I feel that in many different cases, whether it be with my work life, with my social life, or somewhere in between. But BetterHelp has a solution for you. It's online therapy, and it wants to remind you to prioritize your health. It's all about linking you with a professional who can help talk you through these types of issues, which so often tend to arise in the day-to-day life of all of us.
We were just talking about this at dinner. I think our generation is more accustomed to the idea of therapy. They're like more open to it. But a lot of people still, there's some stigma associated with it. There is nothing healthier you can do than sit down with someone who's trained, professional, and can help you work through whatever you're going through in your life, positive or negative. I think it's just, it's very important to have somebody to be able to talk about these things with.
Couldn't agree with you more, Dave. And BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. And I got great news for you, Dave. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/LS. That's betterhelp.com/LS.
Dave, it's heating up outside, and when it comes to stylish essentials for the summer, there's nothing better than Mack Weldon. They got a plethora of options, from polos to shorts to swimwear. Whatever you're doing, whatever summer activity you might have on deck, maybe a barbecue, maybe a little golf round, maybe just going to work and you want to just do a little bit more casual, they got it all. And it's comfortable, breezy, easy. And did I mention that it's incredibly stylish?
You did mention that. And I will say, Dunk, I'm really leaning into my golf game this summer.
Love that for you, Dave.
It's very important that I feel comfortable out there because my game's not that tight. But in the Mack Weldon polo, I feel like I'm, you know, dressed for success. Look good, feel good, play good is sort of been my motto. Two other must-haves for the season, and by season I mean beach season or pool season, whatever you're into, is
Or lake season.
Yeah. It could be lake season. You got to check out their board shorts and swim trunks, a combo of performance stretch and slick design. They're great gear for when you're taking time off.
I love that. I actually haven't had a chance to try the board shorts yet, but man, I cannot wait to get my hands on them. Check out Mack Weldon for yourself and save 20% on your first order. That's a nice little deal, Dave, 20%. Visit mackweldon.com/LS and enter promo code LS. Again, that's mackweldon.com/LS and enter promo code LS for 20% off. That's if you spend $100, save $20. That's a great deal. Stock up on the warm weather essentials you've been missing out on.
Okay, with that in mind, this is another, I like when the questions segue together. Brad Lowe wants to know, what's the purchase that Duncan regrets or holds the most guilt about? Because, you know, like you said, you can get in touch with a lot of people. You know, it's no secret you guys in the NBA are making enough money to make some purchases. Do you have any that
I
you
love, like the body gestures? Yeah. That you're...
Come on, what? Yeah, this is the beauty of not doing podcasts over Zoom. Is you can read my body language. Yeah. You're not liking it?
No, it's I don't know.
All right. Well, do you have any purchases you feel guilty about? I know you do.
Guilty is an interesting word in that context.
Do you want to expand on that?
I mean, like, is in this case are like guilty and regret synonymous?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, I think this story kind of got covered by Ramona Shelburne in a piece that she wrote, but not
people
everybody
read that.
Reads Ramona Shelburne.
And that's so. Not a shot at Ramona Shelburne.
Not
it's more
at all.
A shot that people don't read.
I love Ramona. She's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. It's more that, yeah, people aren't really sitting down and reading long form.
Was it in
anymore.
A TikTok?
Yeah, exactly. But I would say, early on in my career, this was after my two-way year, I had just signed a standard contract with the Miami Heat. It was preseason. The Houston Rockets were in town. Ryan Anderson was on the Houston Rockets. He was a former teammate of mine. They were in town for like 3 days because whenever people play Miami, they always extend their stay. And we got lunch in Miami, and we wandered over to the Design District. And I think he needed to buy something, he said. So we went into Louis Vuitton. I'd never purchased any sort of design or anything. Ryan very kindly bought me, we were talking about gifts earlier.
Yeah.
He got me a wallet, which was really kind.
What's a Louis Vuitton wallet run you?
I'm not sure. I didn't pay for it. but it was a very, very thoughtful gift. But he was really hyping me up to buy a backpack because I was still I was using my Michigan backpack, and
that is unacceptable.
Yeah, people give me shit for this quote, but Ramona called it the metaphorical chip on my shoulder, which is a little, actually, I think I called it that, which is a little cringy.
Now we're getting to the truth.
A little cringy on my behalf. I'm able to look back on that with a little bit more clarity. But yeah, Ryan really hyped me up, greased the wheels to have me go and buy that. $2,500 for a backpack, which just seemed outlandish at the time. And yeah, I bought it and I set it. I had a chair in my room, and I remember I was like kind of hyped up when I bought it. I was like, dude, this backpack's sick. It wasn't like, I'm not like big, like logo, like, but it still had like the Louis Vuitton print on it. Yes. More of like the checkers, but it was like a black bag.
You see it from 50 yards away.
Yeah, it was like relatively subtle though, but like still not, it would have been like one of those things that if I had like showed up with, people would have noticed a huge difference. And I went from a Jordan Michigan bag to the Louis Vuitton bag. So anyways, I sat it down in my on the chair, and like 3 days later we had a road trip, and I was like picking it up and about to pack, and I was like, you know what, like something about this just doesn't feel right. So I packed up the Michigan bag, and then all of a sudden, like, I played well on the road trip, so I was like, all right, I'm just gonna keep riding with the Michigan bag. And that was around the time when I like kind of started to like make some shots and, you know, get a little bit more confident. So I was like, I'm just gonna keep rolling with the Michigan bag. So this Louis Vuitton bag would just sit on that chair with like the tag still on and everything and just stare at me every night as I went to bed because it wasn't getting used. And finally my sister came into town like a month later, and I was nervous that I was like running close to the limit of returning it, but I was too embarrassed to return it myself because I made a big deal out of like, oh, should I buy this? Should I not? Blah, blah, blah. Like it was like, it would have been memorable for the person helping me because I went back and forth so many times.
Of course. Yeah.
So I was like, I asked my sister, I was like, would you please return this? And she did. She obliged. Wow. and returned the bag, and it's gone forever. I've upgraded since from the Jordan bag, but I just rock a Herschel backpack. They sent me it.
Great bags.
Yeah, big fan of Herschel. They make great stuff.
A lot of free shout outs this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it is free. Yeah,
it is.
Send me some stuff, Herschel.
Or support the pod.
Or support the pod.
We'll read an ad for you. Yeah, we actually maybe like your stuff.
Anyways, what else you got?
No, that was good.
Yeah.
That was the story I was hoping you were going to tell.
What's the purchase that you most regret?
I remember you calling, real quick, I remember you calling me during all this, and just, I was just a wall for you to bounce your thoughts off of, and you were debating. God, you know, I like it. I feel like I should keep it, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like me.
I did like the bag a lot, but I realized I liked it for other people more than I liked it for myself. And I wasn't buying it for the right reasons.
That's fair. Yeah. I've been buying a lot of scotch and soda recently. Another free shout out.
I know, but I love scotch
and soda. I would love for them to support the pod.
Anyways.
That's my regret. I think I have some pants I'm going to return because I have too many now.
You've just gotten out of control.
Oh, their stuff is so good.
Yeah, they got some good stuff.
Okay. Vishwasher. What a name. That's Vishwasher. Great. Wants to know
where we got our tracksuits?
Yeah.
No.
No, you already said that. How does Duncan react to seeing himself in trade rumors? Do you even see that stuff? I don't think you'd
really. I will say I'm at a point right now where like, I mean, I still hear like some stuff here and there just because it gets through to me through people. But like, I do not hear a lot of what goes on.
Yeah.
Like we were at dinner today and you mentioned something that I had never even crossed my mind.
I said, hey, Jeremy Grant's going to Portland means you're not going to Detroit.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't know that was maybe a thing. I mean, I guess it was. I don't know. Really. Like, yeah, I'm basically at the point because I've been in them so often throughout my career. It's like I have a lot of reps dealing with this type of stuff.
I remember, you know, the last trade like, deadline was.
There's just so much noise out there that it doesn't make really any sense to get caught up in, you know, what's not real.
Yep. Makes sense. Elizabeth isn't. Your mother's not hitting you up about things she sees on Twitter that she thinks are real.
No. It's a lot of, there's a lot of hoopla. A lot of hoopla out there.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've talked about this before too. It's always funny to me that like people that aren't really close to me will send me stuff more than people that are actually close to me.
Yes.
It's like for some reason that's just like how it works. I don't know. Just how it works.
Yeah. Makes sense. Nothing's real until it's real.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. NBA, another NBA question. What player do you think is going to have a breakout year next season / win most improved player? Anybody on your radar? You're like, man, that guy, he's due for a jump.
So I think I have some guys that are, I think will really be improved and make jumps.
These are kind of two different questions.
Yeah, because like most improved is different. Like you look at who wins most improved, you have to score 20 points a game to win most improved.
What did Jordan average this year?
Like 18, like 17. But he wasn't even in the top three.
Right. No, that's my point. Yeah. Like so he was a guy who had a breakout year, but he didn't.
The most improved award is the one that actually, I think out of all of them, kind of bothers me the most, if we're being honest, just in terms of how it's evaluated. I understand it's up to the discretion of the voters. I understand that. But it's like, it's not really to me about who improved the most. It's actually more about who, like, well, first off, they favor people that make the jump from like good player to great player, which yeah. I actually am okay with, but it's more about like statistically, like you can basically boil it down to you have to score 20 points a game. You have to be on like a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And you have to like kind of fit the narrative that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but like I wish it was a little bit more objective of like who actually improved the most this year.
Aren't most awards just narrative based though?
No, well, kind of, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think they are.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, that's what you get when you have media people vote for them. No shot at media people.
Spicy.
No, you are media people, but it's like I would be because we vote for, we have like an internal voting thing where like we vote as players for people on like various different awards, and it's
does
like
that it carries weight.
No, I actually don't even know where that goes, which is funny. I think it's like just internal. Like I think we just get notified of like the results, but it's like.
Wait, is it awards like MVP, most improved?
I think so. There's also like weird, like kind of like obscure awards too. It's like a whole list of things. It's like the Players Association sends it out.
Weird.
But that's always really interesting to me because it's like, I think as players, you appreciate the perspective of your peers more than you do the critics, like the media people. But I think that there would also be like a distinction between who the players would say win these awards versus who media people would say win these awards.
I wouldn't be shocked if it changes a little bit next year with the most improved, because I think enough people, notable people, players, and even media came out and said, all right, I mean, Ja Morant had an amazing year, but he went from a star to a superstar.
Yeah, and I think the argument is that like some people say that's the hardest jump to make, right? To go from like a really good player to like a truly...
Fair enough. I like it better for the Jordan Pools, the guys who
so do I. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like I think like Desmond Bane obviously like really improved.
Yeah.
But even that one, you know, I think he for sure should have been in the mix to get it. But like people would say, oh, well, you know, that's the jump you're supposed to make from year one. Like you can shape it however you want to shape it. It's kind of stupid. It's basically they kind of pick who they want to vote for and then they like build the narrative around it.
Do you have any play, any names, any guys you think?
Yeah, we talked about this before and I don't even remember what I was going to say. Do you have one?
I have one that's the Jordan Poole level.
Okay.
I think Precious. I really do. I thought he was awesome last year in Toronto. I have some stats if you want them.
Yeah, I'd love to see him.
Look at my tab. I have it saved right here. He averaged 9 and 7 last year, but post All-Star break, he was averaging over 12 points a game, shot almost 40% from three. So latter half of the season, he was really good.
Yeah.
And he got so much better from his rookie year last year, that, you know, trajectory, if it continues, I see him making another jump. That's my pick. But again, I think breakout year and most improved player are different things. Like, I think he may have a breakout year. I don't think it's realistic he wins most improved for the reasons you laid out.
Yeah, okay. So I have one, but I'm going under who I think has a good chance to win most improved.
Okay.
And that I think Tyrese Maxey statistically will like make that jump from he was a really good player this year to he'll kind of like ascend into
that guy,
an even better player,
all-star.
I have no idea what he averages here, but my guess would be somewhere around 18 points a game. Like I could see him averaging 23-24, which is like a similar jump to what like Ja Morant did. Was I right? Was it 18 points a game?
17.5, 18, yeah. 4 and 3.
So, yeah, so like I could see his line next year being like 22 or 23.
Yep.
You know, 4.5 and 6, right? Yep. Like something like that, as to where like you know, a little bit more efficient. Like that probably puts him in the conversation for most improved.
I'm going to look this up. What did Jaw average? He went from 20 to 27.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big jump. Yeah, it's a big jump.
Maybe you should have won it.
I know. I don't think it's like wrong that he did.
Are you yawning on camera?
I just yawned on camera.
Dude,
but
we're leaving that in.
But it's all. It's also like Ja Morant was like an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, fair.
I digress.
All right. Luke Albers asks, what's the toughest shot Duncan has made in the NBA? Will you stop clearing your throat?
I got two that come to mind. And they literally, you didn't ask that question before. And I just thought of both of these and they just randomly came to my
You're
mind.
A beast.
One is in the NBA Finals. Really had no business going in, but it was a second half shot against the Lakers in the finals. I was going to my right by the benches. Sorry, going to my left by the benches, and I banked in a three. And I like double clutched it because I thought Alex Caruso was going to block it, and it still somehow went in as like the shot clock was kind of expiring.
Do you remember what game this was?
I want to say game 5, I think.
Is that the game you had 26?
I think so, yeah. No, it wasn't that game then. It might have been game 4.
We're going to find the clip.
I don't know.
All right, double clutch over Alex Caruso.
That's one, and then the other one.
Bonus points for NBA Finals.
Random regular season game against the Orlando Magic.
Yes, I want the deep cuts.
I got like a handoff. I like came off one way, threw it back, I think to Bam, probably to Bam. Statistics would say it was probably Bam.
Likely.
And was going to the right corner across from our bench. And under Steve Clifford, the Magic would always blitz ball screens going towards the baseline. And like side ball screens going towards the baseline, like step ups. And I knew they were going to blitz it. And I had two on me and I just shot it. And it was like a super high arcing shot. And it just didn't hit anything but net. And it was one of those shots where I was like, wow, that was pretty crazy that went in. Like, it wasn't like, if you watched the game, you wouldn't have been like, you'd be like, oh, that was a tough shot. But like, for some reason in my mind, it just sticks out to me. Like, that was crazy. I think part of it was just how I just like heaved it. Like, I knew they were blitzing, yeah. And I had like made a couple already. I was just like, I'm just going to throw this up there. And it went in.
A couple things. One, love that mentality.
Yeah.
Secondly, that is the exact kind of answer I wanted. I didn't want the NBA Finals.
Yeah. I mean, that one, cut. For whatever reason, like, I'll occasionally like come across that highlight. And it's, like I said, it's a random game. It's not like some highlight that like always surfaces.
Yeah.
But like, I'll occasionally come across it. And every time I watch that shot, I'm like, damn. That's pretty crazy.
Is it one of those where you just decide before you get the ball?
Yeah,
it's going
exactly.
Up?
I was like, I'm going to shoot this.
And then is it feel good right away or is it just like, wow?
No, that's one where it's like hard to explain. Like, I didn't shoot that.
It wasn't you.
Yeah. Like, I didn't shoot that ball. Like, it just left my hand and it went in.
Like, it's like angels in the outfield.
And what happened in between, I don't really know. Like, I just heaved the ball up and it went in. I've had a couple of like that. Like, I remember against Cleveland, weirdly enough, same kind of shot going to the right by their bench. Like Tyler, that was like in that one of my first like kind of breakout games where I hit 8 threes in that first half and
against Beeline.
Yeah, it was like going to the bench to the right and Tyler like kind of handed it to me.
Oh, in the corner?
Yeah, and I just like shot it and I was just like, oh, that went in.
You lost your mind after that one too.
Yeah, because that was one where like
that was a heat check.
I had like earned the heat check.
That was like your sixth or seventh.
I made a couple of shots. I was like, I'm just gonna let this fly. Yeah. And it just went in. And I was like, that was crazy.
Yeah, but that's also right after that you hit the like 40-footer.
No, I think the 40-footer, actually, 30, yeah.
35-footer.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
Deep into shot clock.
Anyways, let's close the yearbook, huh? Let's
fair enough. We're looking forward.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple quick hitters to end. Ready?
These are going
to
be true quick hitters.
Yeah. True quick hitters. From DB Ball. Last year, you introduced me to some cool artists like Tom Misch, who became one of my favorite musicians. What are some of your underrated songs of this year? Singers or songs?
So do we want to go? I'm going to break out my Spotify catalog.
Do. I have one that I showed you today.
Yeah.
That I want everyone to go listen to, which is shout out to Casey. Casey showed me this.
Yep.
Blue Moon by They. Absolute hit.
So
play that and tell me you don't.
It kind of depends. It kind of depends what you're going for. But if you want like the Tom Misch category, Noah Kahan is really good. Mount Joy. What else do we have here that I've kind of been? Ty Verdes. I like Ty Verdes. Code of the Friend. Who else?
You stay in the same kind of lane.
That's kind of that genre. I will say... Checo, you got to check out Checo. He's from New Hampshire. I met him recently.
Shout out Checo.
And
another free shout out.
He makes great music. He came over actually, oddly enough. He was just at my house eating dinner. Sick
dude, you hang out with
artists. No, I mean, he's not like a big time artist, but he makes really good music. Checo. And he's from New Hampshire. So check him out.
No, that's good. Those are good answers.
Are those good answers?
Yeah.
No, I want to think of one other.
I have Blue Moon by They. Please go listen to that. If it's daytime and you're outside at the pool, listen to Drake's new album and then judge it after that.
Yeah, that's good.
Jasmine Sullivan.
Yep. I would say...
what else am I listening to?
I don't know. I really like her.
She's, oh my gosh.
Her's great. Her. Snow Allegra. SZA, yeah. I don't listen to a lot of SZA, but Snow Allegra and her are both great. Frank Ocean never disappoints.
Never. I mean... we're going old stuff.
That's kind of days. Like, all right, cool, Duncan. You said Frank Ocean. Like, yeah everyone dude. Listens to Frank Ocean.
You're so
anyways.
Edgy. Yeah. Okay, that wasn't a quick hitter.
Okay,
but
keep going.
Good. Zachary Scott asks, all time favorite sports movie.
By the way, Tom Misch is fantastic. I got to put him back in the rotation.
Yeah,
he's kind of
it's summertime.
Out.
Tom Misch.
Also, I have been listening to a lot of Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, I will say I was anti the punk rock movement early on.
No, but
I respect it.
I also had a phase recently where I listened to strictly British rap.
Yeah,
like strictly British rap.
Stormzy,
Dave, H.
You were on a Burna Boy kick.
Burna Boy, I was on it. I mean, he's not British, but
no, I know.
He,
but.
You know, whatever. He has a song with Dave, which is maybe
that's where my
that.
Brain, yeah. My
but brain. But yeah, that was another kick that I had. Strictly British rap. It was the only thing I would listen to.
You put me on Dave.
Yeah, Dave's great.
I like Dave.
Continue.
All-time favorite sports movie.
All-time favorite sports movie.
Semi-pro.
Semi-pro's up there.
It's so good.
I would say can I name a couple? White Men Can't Jump. Fantastic.
Yeah. Let's go not basketball.
Okay. I love Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
So good.
It's just, I remember being
Pelham?
So.
Is it Pelham? No, Parnham?
Polium?
No, it's like Parnham High School or something. It's so good, though.
It's just, I remember being so heartbroken.
The Parnham Panthers, no? Parnham Panthers.
It's just sad ending.
Yeah. But it's such a, wow.
Yeah, great movie.
Such a great movie.
Talladega Nights. I'm going Will Ferrell comedy movies. Does that count as a sports movie?
Yeah. Those are great movies.
We shouted out Kicking. We look like we could be in Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah.
Glory Road.
Blades of Glory.
Glory Road and Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory is a classic. We were supposed to pick one. We're just kind of rattling off, but.
Glory Road would be up there for me.
Glory Road's good. I don't know.
Oh, I loved that movie.
It doesn't, yeah. It's a good movie. All right.
Rudy. Hoosiers.
No, I don't like Rudy.
No, I'm not going with the throwbacks either. All right, we're bad at the quick hitters.
Anyone that says Hoosiers is their favorite movie is either from Indiana or they're wrong.
Or my dad.
Or your dad. He would be wrong.
Reese Barker asks, or says, about to be in my first year of university. Shout out to you. Good luck.
Sup, Reese.
So I'm curious, what were your majors?
I don't know if this has been documented.
I think it probably has.
No, I
Come
was
on, quick hitters.
I did 5 years of college, so I was double major: political science and sport management. 2 degrees. That's right.
It's cool.
What about you, Davis? Oh, you just put this on here so Davis could say that he majored in neuroscience and he's so smart and he studied the brain, but now he overthinks everything. He has his
That's my Instagram bio.
He has his little catchphrase that he likes to use.
That's good though. That's pretty good.
No.
Come on.
Who are you really fooling with that?
I studied neuroscience and behavior. Didn't.
Give me one neuroscience term that you actually remember and explain it in 10 seconds.
Well, so here's the thing.
You're deflecting.
The major, the way it was broken out at Wesleyan, it was half biology and half psychology courses. So the bio
stuff. That
doesn't
sound like neuroscience to me.
So listen, I mean, it's like neuroanatomy, you know, like learning the parts of the brain and organic chemistry and physics. I had
okay,
to take
so
all
give
that
me
stuff.
A part. Give me
so
something.
Listen, that half of stuff didn't retain any of it. Not really relevant. The psychology stuff that was really interesting.
Okay, so give me something.
And it sort of like reshaped the way that I think, I just view the world. You know?
Yeah.
We're all just
embark some wisdom upon us.
Chemicals in our brains. I don't want to do that. I also don't remember a whole lot.
Okay.
These are quick hitters. All right, last one from Noah. Favorite teams or athletes from other sports?
Favorite teams or athletes from other sports?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to try to stay away from just like New England sports fandom because that's how I grew up. Those are like my
Chiefs.
Most. But I will say like Tom Brady growing up, obviously. Dude. Troy Brown, Ty Law. Like those are my heyday.
Yeah.
Heydays a sports fan. For the Red Sox, like Josh Beckett, Jonathan Papelbon, Coco Crisp, Pokey Reese. Like those are some legends right there. I could tell you the entire starting lineup of the 2004 World Series champion Red Sox.
I could do the 2015 Royals for sure.
That's not as cool as like 7 years ago.
Same thing, dude.
2004 was 18 years
That's
ago.
That's our World Series. Okay, in Boston, you guys win all the time. Congratulations. Yeah,
but like I could literally go. Worst I could fans. Go down the line, and it's like
sick, dude. I'm happy for you, Manny Ramirez.
But like those
Dustin Pedroia.
Those are
Jason
Pedroia was in 04.
Whatever.
There's Mark Bellhorn at second base. anyways, yeah, I mean, we'll just leave it at that. There are like people that I enjoy watching now in other sports, but I don't have like, I'm not like fans of people, you know?
Yeah, no.
I like soccer players. I like some soccer players. For some reason, the fact that they're like way overseas is like makes it different. I don't know why. Maybe that's like an ego thing. I hope it's not. Can you analyze that?
It's probably an ego thing. They're but not like in your celebrity competition.
It's not celebrity though. It's more just like what they're doing is like it feels like I've become a huge fan of F1 recently.
Yeah.
And it's like,
are you a Verstappen guy?
I don't want to say who I don't like. I'll say who I do like.
I'd rather know the former.
Big Daniel Ricciardo guy. Mm. Big fan of Daniel Ricciardo. I like Lando Norris.
See, these are guys you should reach out to. We just talked about how you can get in touch with people.
I like Lando Norris. I like Max.
Who have you reached out to and not heard back from that you're most disappointed about? Like for me, it's good. Reply to my DMs. Dude,
there's definitely somebody that I can't think of right now that I just did not hear back from.
Did you hit up Stormzy?
No. I was on the Stormzy kick though, for a while. Were. No, I didn't know. I can't think of somebody, but there's definitely someone out there. We'll revisit this.
All right, fine. Okay.
I'm not saying this because I'm like embarrassed. I would have zero shame just legitimately don't remember.
League Hugs asked who gives the best hugs in the league.
League Hugs?
Yeah. I feel like Joe Ingles would give a good hug.
I don't know if I ever hugged Joe Ingles.
I'm
going to opt out of answering this.
Come on, dude. Who gives a good hug? Who seems like they'd give a good hug?
Best hugs in the league? I don't know.
Steven Adams gives a good hug, for sure. Big guy.
I mean, you're just being engulfed. He's
yeah. As long as he's, like, gentle. Like, he could crush me. But he seems like he's a nice guy.
I'll leave that up
nice
for you to try to.
Okay, Steven Adams. Serge Ibaka feels like he'd give a good hug.
Okay.
He just seems kind.
Thunder, formerly Thunder Big Man.
Yeah, maybe I have a yeah,
you
maybe
have an affinity
have a,
for it.
Yeah, maybe I have some soft spot for the Thunder.
Anyways, Midwest thing.
Yeah, all right.
Just those flyover states sticking together, you know?
I think that's all I have. I'm going through my
Let's do one more rapid fire.
Okay. Oh, I didn't. No, does Davis get starstruck? I wanted to find a Davis question. There aren't a lot. Oh, how about Ryan Thompson wants to know, was Davis ever better than Duncan?
At one point, yes. When we first met each other,
we've talked about
Davis was a better basketball
10th
player.
10th grade, I was
all right, that's
far
it. Hope you guys enjoyed the mailbag as much as we enjoyed doing it because we had a good time. And look forward to seeing you next week. We got some great guests coming up. We already have them lined up. I hope they show up, and I hope it actually happens. But we got some good stuff in the future. So, you know, Long Shot Pod is on the come up.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, trending in the right direction. All right, I hope you guys all have a fantastic week and looking forward to checking back in next week.
Should we sing?
No.
I'm a mother lover, you're a mother lover.
Cheers.